Could I share a personal note with you this morning? My brother Brad is preaching in a church in Butte, Montana right now. And my sister Kim is preaching in a church in Topeka, Kansas right now. And I'm about to preach to you here. So you get to be a part of something that's probably never happened before in human history. Three Belkies, all preaching on Father's Day. I think that's pretty cool. So, let's begin in prayer this morning. Father, we ask for the presence of your beloved Son, Jesus, the Anointed One, who brings grace and truth and healing. We ask that that would fill this room this morning and take control of all that transpires this morning. We pray in his holy name. Amen. So good morning. It is Father's Day. If you're a father, raise one hand this morning. All right, all across the room. If you're a grandfather, raise two hands this morning. All right. Any great grandfathers here this morning? Whoa! Oh, yeah, we got three of them this morning. Four of them this morning. That deserves a hand. Okay, any great, great grand... Okay, we'll stop there. Okay. Unfortunately, what the Lord's given me this morning is not a typical Father's Day message, but men, I believe the Lord wants to touch your hearts this morning by what I share. So hang with me. About 2 months ago, the Lord gave me one verse of scripture, and it hit me like a freight train. And it's been resounding in my spirit ever since then. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to John and I said, John, I shared this with him, and he said, Scott, it's really great when a sermon is chasing you rather than you're chasing a sermon. Well, this sermon's been chasing me for about 2 months this morning, so I rejoice in the opportunity to share it with you this morning. Because I know that the Lord wants to touch you individually, and he wants to touch us corporately this morning. As I mentioned the last time I preached, I've been listening to sermons for over six decades now, even from my mother's womb. And over that span of time, I've begun to wonder how much is actually retained from 1 week to the next week, and how much is actually put into process in your life. So this morning, I think I just want to be real simple this morning. There's no handout this morning. I think the Lord wants to use one verse to touch your heart this morning. He wants to release something to you, and then he wants to release it through you. And so I'm not going to complicate it or clutter that up this morning. We have eight simple words in Scripture, and then all I need is one supporting verse. And so we'll just be kind of looking at two verses this morning, and that's all. Now, I've learned something over the years preparing and releasing biblical truth in the prayer room, and that's that sometimes it takes the prayers to catch up a little bit with me. When I go, I see some heads shaking out there right now. Well, you know, I've sought the Lord. I believe he's said something to me. I've studied it. I've prayed over it. I've meditated over it. Sometimes I make an outline that I hand out, and then I come in there and I got both barrels loaded, and I erupt on them sometimes. And after the initial blast, you know, it may take them a little bit to process what I've shared. So I think it's wisdom this morning to allow you time to process and catch up to where I'm going this morning. So in a minute, I'm going to ask the AV guys to put our verse up on the screen, and then I'm going to go silent. Because I want you to hear the voice of the Lord this morning and not just my voice. And then I'll come back and we'll dive into this one verse of scripture. So guys, if you would put up on the overhead this morning our one verse, Psalm 147:3. Just look at that and think about that for a minute. He heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. Say that with me. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Again, he heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. Now personalize it. He heals my broken heart and he bandages my wounds. Good. Now, I'm not going to get in a hurry this morning because the best Father's Day present that you could receive this morning is to hear this morning, receive it, believe it, own it, have it become a part of your life, and then for you to become a vehicle of that healing to others. So hang with me. If you're online this morning, I may step out of your vision, but you can still hear my voice. Because I want you individually to take this word this morning. Kurt, fellow elder, he heals the brokenhearted. Lisa, he heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. Angie, he heals the brokenhearted and he can make you a conduit of the healing of the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Missy, he heals the brokenhearted, and he heals the brokenhearted. These two lovely ladies here that I happen to be related to, he heals the brokenhearted. That message is for everyone here this morning. The Lord heals the brokenhearted individually, corporately, and in the case of Israel, nationally. Now, someone might say, Scott, you're overemphasizing just this one truth of Scripture or this one verse, and that's why I have my supporting verse this morning. Brother Mike, you'll agree with me that the prophet Isaiah was probably the greatest prophetic voice in the Old Testament. Isaiah prophesied of the coming of the Anointed One, the one on whom the Spirit of the Lord would rest. And Israel clung to that promise of Isaiah for over 700 years, twice as long as America has been around. And so what was that promise of the Anointed One? What was that focus of messianic ministry? Well, one day Jesus walked into a synagogue on a Sabbath morning in Nazareth, and he asked for that scroll of Isaiah, and he opened it up, and he read it, and then he said, today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your sight. So what was it that he was going to do? Guys, if you would put up our second verse for today, Isaiah 61, and that says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Now, assuredly, Isaiah goes on in this passage to talk about other things that the Anointed One would do, but the first two people groups that he says, I want to touch these because they've touched my heart, are the poor and the brokenhearted. And if we're going to do the works of the Anointed One, then we're going to have to learn how to heal the brokenhearted. If harmony is going to be a healing place, then the brokenhearted need to find help and healing here amongst us. You know, some people, when they hear this, might say this morning, yeah, I believe that's true, but I don't believe it's true for me today. Or they might say, I've felt this brokenheartedness so long that the numbness just seems natural to me now. Or I've been this way for so long, I don't even think the Lord cares anymore. Some people might actually be brokenhearted this morning just because they see that verse that we put up, because they don't believe it's true, or they don't believe it's true for them. But I believe it's a great help for us to know that each person of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all know what it is to be brokenhearted. So follow me along in Scripture for a minute. Genesis 6:6. Guys, you can put that up. Scripture tells us, in light of the rampant wickedness in Noah's time, that the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on earth, and it broke his heart. Now, if you kind of don't like the context of that, think about Luke 15 and the story of the father of the prodigal son and how his heart was broken. In terms of Jesus, many theologians and biblical commentators think that Jesus didn't actually die of his physical afflictions in his passion and crucifixion, but that he actually died of a broken heart because of the weight of suffering and sin that he bore for us. Because people who were crucified often anguished on the cross for a number of days. But Scripture tells us that Jesus died in just 6 hours, just six short hours. And then in terms of the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:30, you can put that up, guys. Do not bring sorrow to or grieve the heart of God's Spirit by what you live by how you live. So the way we live can actually grieve the heart of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it break your heart when you just see that word brokenhearted? I mean, you see it and there's almost a visceral response within you. And if that affects us in that way, how much more does it affect the heart of the Father when he sees our brokenheartedness? I mean, let's face it. If you're on this planet, you either have or are now or will at some point experience brokenheartedness. Even all of the most precious experiences of life, parenting, marriage, family, even the family of God, all of those places we can experience brokenheartedness there. So, all right, let's talk to the men a little bit this morning. Let's talk about some guys in the New Testament that Jesus ministered to heal their broken hearts. Let's start with Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector who somehow ended up writing the first book in the New Testament. Matthew had abandoned Torah. He had abandoned Yahweh for a worldly life of position and power and prosperity. He had lost his destiny. But Jesus goes after Matthew, and he calls him on to himself, and then is his companion for a number of years, and he gives Matthew a destiny that Matthew could have never imagined. I mean, have any of you guys read a first century tax roll lately? First century tax roll? That's what Matthew was writing. But how many of you have ever read at least a part or all of the Gospel of Matthew, as have billions of people over the last 2,000 years? How about Zacchaeus? He was a chief amongst tax collectors. So the Bible said he was very wealthy. And yet we know that Zacchaeus was a runt and he was probably despised. And yet Jesus goes looking for Zacchaeus, and he does both of those things that were mentioned in Isaiah 61 in one encounter. He says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today, and heals Zacchaeus' broken heart. And then Zacchaeus takes half of his vast wealth and he gives it away to the poor. Jesus gets both of those. Do you think that it broke Matthew's and Zacchaeus' father's heart, what they became? Do you think it broke their mother's heart for what they had become? Think about the story of the prodigal son. Do you think the father's heart wasn't broken when his son came before him and in essence said, Dad, I wish you were dead. I just want your money, so would you give me your inheritance now? Don't you think it breaks the father's heart every time a deceived and rebellious child says, I'm leaving home and I'm going away to another land? And the father knows that that land ends in a pig pen. And it's got to break his heart. How about the Gadarene demoniac? This is one of my favorite encounters in Scripture. Jesus, who's a Jew, gets in a boat with 12 other Jews, and they make this arduous crossing across the Sea of Galilee. They encounter a demonic storm that Jesus rebukes and takes care of, so they can get all the way across to Gadarea so that Jesus can minister to one demon-possessed Gentile. Now, this guy was really broken. He was possessed by a legion of demons. He was alone. He was homeless. He was sexually broken. He was naked. He was a cutter. And yet, in his encounter with Jesus, Jesus takes all of that and heals all of that. And now all the guy wants to do is follow Jesus. I want to follow you, Jesus. Jesus says, uh-uh. He says, I want you to go home, and I want you to be a vehicle of healing to those who are undoubtedly brokenhearted by what you had become. How about the man who was at the pool of Bethesda? Here's a guy who waited for 38 years to get healed. Imagine the brokenheartedness as he sat there 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, a quarter of a century, a third of a century, and he can never get into the water to get healed. And Jesus seemingly comes and looks for him amongst all the people that were probably there because this one guy had suffered so long. And Jesus comes to him, heals his broken heart, and heals his body also. Brokenheartedness, unfortunately, can come in the house of God. Think about the man who was born blind. Jesus goes, finds him, he heals his blindness, and undoubtedly heals his broken heart. And then all the guy wants to do is rejoice. He wants to rejoice with mom and dad. He wants to rejoice in the house of God. He wants to rejoice with the family of God. But he's criticized, he's ostracized, he's cursed, it says eventually, and then he's expelled from the synagogue. But guess who comes and finds him a second time to heal the new wounds that he had experienced in the house of God? Brokenheartedness can come to a mature follower of Jesus. Think about Peter. Peter walked with the Lord for 3 years. We kind of think he was the leader of the 12, you know. Peter actually walked on water with Jesus. But more importantly, he saw the transfigured, glorious Jesus in his eternal glory, along with Moses and Elijah, and yet Scripture tells us a short time later, he's denying, I don't even know that man, three times in one night. But 50 days later, Peter preaches what's arguably the second greatest sermon that we have in all of Scripture after the Sermon on the Mount. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people get saved, baptized, and brought into the kingdom. How did that happen? It happened because Jesus encountered Peter one morning on the sea of the shore of Galilee. And Jesus ministered to Peter's broken heart. And Jesus restored Peter's seemingly lost destiny that morning. He said, "No, bro, you're going to feed my sheep." And he put him back to work. All right, let's talk to the women for a minute this morning. Women, you can take solace and hope that God knows about your broken heart. Mary Magdalene, counterpart to the Gadarene demoniac. She was filled with seven demons. Imagine her brokenness. And Jesus heals her and takes care of that. She becomes one of his most ardent followers. The woman at the well, coming every day by herself at noon to gather water because she's been ostracized by everybody else. Undoubtedly brokenhearted. Five husbands. And the man she's living with now doesn't even care about marrying her. And so she comes. And Jesus seemingly goes and finds her specifically because he knows that she's the key to revival in Samaria. And he restores her broken heart. And indeed, boom, she's off. And there is revival in Samaria. The woman caught in adultery. Sexual brokenness. And just violated in her humanity. And yet Jesus so lovingly and tenderly restores her heart and her dignity. The woman with the 12-year issue of blood. Here we have the counterpart of the guy who was at the Pool of Siloam for 38 years. She's had this thing for 12 years. Nothing can help her. But Jesus, she touches Jesus, and her heart and her body are healed. The widow of Nain. This is a woman who's brokenhearted because her only son has died. And amazingly, the funeral runs into Jesus. And Jesus just reaches out, says, "Come on back," and he restores the young man to the mother, undoubtedly healing her broken heart. What I think may be the most broken heart in Scripture, Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the foot of the cross, looking up at her son, brutalized, butchered, crucified, hearing the mocking crowd in the background, and down there for 6 hours watching his agony. Can you imagine what happened in her heart during those 6 hours? And even in the midst of his agony, Jesus looks down to her and says, "Woman, this is your son, and son, this is your woman. Your mother, son, this is your mother." So even in the midst of his deepest agony, Jesus is looking to heal his mother's broken heart. I want to go back to Mary Magdalene once. Jesus touches her. She gets her heart restored. Now her Messiah has been crucified, and she's back at the tomb. She's looking for him. "Where have you laid him?" And it seems like Jesus comes to encounter her specifically a second time, to restore her heart a second time. Can he do that? Yeah, he can do that over and over and over again if it's necessary. Psalm 147:3 makes a declaration about God, and it's true. He heals the brokenhearted. Now, how he does that and the timing in which he does that is his prerogative. Now, if we were honest with ourselves, we'd probably say we don't expect all 100% of everyone to be healed 100% of their brokenheartedness this morning. And that would be an unprecedented move of God. But certainly, I'm looking for God to touch in a wide scale this morning people and begin to start that healing process in their lives. I think in terms of healing, it helps to look at the second part of this verse. You know, he heals the brokenhearted, but he also bandages their wounds. What does that mean? Bandaging seems to indicate time for the healing process to take place. Okay? Any nurses out there? There's one nurse out there. When you're bandaging, it's a slow process. It's a tender process. You don't hurry through that. And the Lord wants our vulnerable spots covered. You know, bandages cover, protect, keep things clean. Now, don't raise your hand, but have any of you ever picked a scab? Yeah, you couldn't wait for the healing process to take place. And it might start bleeding again. And the Lord says this morning, don't be a scab picker, okay? Give the healing process time to take place. And know that the Lord heals thoroughly. And at some point, the bandages won't be necessary anymore, and that they're going to come off. I want to insert two contextual notes here. I want to look at the verse before our verse and the verse after our verse. So the verse before 147:3 indicates that the Lord is restoring Jerusalem and Israel back into the promised land. And then comes the promise, healing for the sake, healing of the broken hearts. Almost said healing for the sake of evangelism there. It's just a part of us. So the context seems to indicate healing due to lost destiny, lost national destiny. And Israel knew that was caused by sin. Is anyone in the room today who's a little brokenhearted about the loss of destiny, seemingly loss of destiny in our nation right now? Is there anyone here today who's brokenhearted over besetting sin that you just can't seem to get a handle on, that seems to have separated you from your destiny? Well, praise God. He can forgive those sins. He can move nations. And he can restore your destiny. Now, how can I be sure about that? Well, let's look at the verse that's after our verse. After this wonderful promise, he heals the brokenhearted. Then the biblical writer seems to come out of left field to me kind of with this comment. And then he goes and counts the stars and numbers the stars. You know, what's that? Well, the God who's able to count and number stars, who has that kind of power and that kind of wisdom, he's able to know all the circumstances that are around Jeff's life. And he's able to cause all of those circumstances to work together for good for his life. Hallelujah. Isn't this cool? God counts the stars and he counts his sheep. But he doesn't count our sins against us. He counts us righteous in Christ Jesus. And he can name every one of those stars. And he can name every one of his sheep. But he chooses to remember our sins no more. Hallelujah. So we focused a little bit on internalizing this. Take it for yourself. Don't leave this morning without taking this for yourself. But the second thing that I think the Lord wants to do this morning is that he wants to begin to deputize and empower us to go out and become vehicles of healing to the brokenhearted. I mean, and I think this is kind of easy. You know, when God touches Brother Tim and heals his broken heart, now Tim has a God story. And so when God's interacting with somebody, Tim can say, wow, it sounds like your heart's really broken over this specific issue that you're facing. Could I just share with you how God's healed my broken heart? It just seems like kind of an easy on-ramp for you to share your personal story about how God has touched you. So what qualifies you this morning for that divine ministry? Just say yes, okay? Just say yes. This week in the prayer meeting, pray for the brokenhearted to be healed. Women, in that Tuesday morning Bible study that's on fire, pray for the brokenhearted to be healed. Wednesday at the staff meeting, pray for broken hearts to be healed. Thursday at the elders meeting, pray for broken hearts to be healed. When you're in your personal prayer time, you're praying with your wife, your kids. When you're at work or at Walmart, be looking for people that look like they're brokenhearted. Because you have a God who can heal the broken heart. You have an answer to that brokenness. I don't have time this morning to be as thorough as I'd like to be, but I do want to point out that there are three qualifiers in Psalm 147. What's the Lord looking for when he wants to do these things? And he made it real simple. He's got three H's, okay? Humility, honor, and hope. And that's available to anybody, male or female, young or old, red or yellow, black or white. Anybody can do the three H's. You can humble yourself before the immensity of the God who can count and name every star. You're able to honor the Lord or to reverence him or fear him, and you're able to hope in his unfailing love. I mean, guys, you don't need to be an Olympic athlete to do the three H's. Women, you don't need to be a beauty queen to do the three H's. Nobody needs the horsepower of an Albert Einstein to be able to do the three H's. You just humble yourself, you honor the Lord, and you continue to hope in his unfailing love. So what qualifies me to preach this sermon this morning? Nothing. I went to John and shared with him what the Lord had spoken to me, and he felt like I should share. And over the past couple of weeks, I began to journal in my journal some things where I was brokenhearted. Things that I've prayed for thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And I felt like, wow, if the Lord would just heal, you know, one of those things, or heal all of those things, then I'd be qualified to come in there and you know, release this word to you. But I think what really qualifies me is to say that I'm still in the trenches with you, hoping for the Lord to touch me in those areas where I'm broken. I'm in that prayer room three times a week where I've seen time and time again the brokenhearted come into that room and seen the Lord heal their hearts. In fact, you know, we've kept clinics in business over the last many years by all the tissues that we've used in the prayer room. Seems like every week I'm off looking for another box of tissues because the Lord heals the brokenhearted. Well, Wes, where are you? Would you come up here, please? I know it's Father's Day. I've tried to be concise and short this morning. Wes is going to play for us a little bit this morning. We're going to give him a chance to get plugged in here. The Lord heals the broken heart. And he wants to make you a conduit of healing to other people. I'm going to close now. Listen to me carefully. 35 years ago in April, me and my wife were sitting in a room like this down in Grandview. And a prophet named John Paul Jackson, who some of you might know, he pointed at me and he said, "Stand up." And he said, "The Lord's brought you out of great darkness in times past, and he's not done that in vain. Sorry. But he's done that for a purpose." And then he declared some things over my life, and only a small but significant part of that has come true yet. And then he pointed at me and he said, "I'm here to give you hope this morning and tell you don't give up. You last it out. You finish the course. And then the dream will really come true. And when the dream comes true, it's worthwhile." So the Lord sent me here this morning, and I'm asking you to stand up. If you would, please. If you can, stand up this morning. And I'm going to point at you this morning. And I'm going to say, the Lord sent me to give you hope. And say, don't you give up. But you last it out. You finish the course. And then the dream will really come true. And when the dream comes true, it'll all be worthwhile. Hebrews, it says that the Holy Spirit causes our hearts to overflow with hope by His power. But Holy Spirit, I wonder, can a broken heart contain hope anymore? Does hope seep out of a broken heart, Holy Spirit? We're asking you to come this morning and to heal broken hearts and put them back together. Come, Holy Spirit. And then, Spirit of God, we ask you to fill those healed vessels. Begin to fill them up again. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fill those healed vessels until they begin to overflow onto others that are around them. Come and do your work, anointed one. Heal the brokenhearted. And cause hearts to overflow with hope by your power. The altar's open this morning. If you want to come and let the Lord minister to you, we're not going to have a prayer team this morning because I want everyone to get touched this morning. You might want to just sit down this morning and let the Lord minister to you and think about what you've heard this morning and what He's declared over you. If you need to go this morning, feel free to go ahead. If you'd like to fellowship this morning, I'm just going to ask that you go back in our big friendly foyer back there and fellowship to your heart's desire. Wes is going to continue to play here for a few minutes. But don't get in a hurry this morning. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your hearts this morning. Thank you for your attentiveness this morning. Have a great week, everyone. God bless you.